Blog Talk Radio.
I hate when my husband works late, being at home, alone at night, hearing every little creak. It's uncomfortable. I thought I was just being paranoid, then my girlfriend said she felt the same way when her husband travels. Until they had what she calls their Vivint talk. Vivint, my friend calls it the best home security system out there. It's super easy to use and fit right into our budget, and I love my video cameras. I can see what's going on in and around my home right from my computer or smartphone. It's actually kind of funny. I told my husband, if you're going to be traveling or working late, I'm getting Vivint. And it's made all the difference.
Call now. Not only is installation free, you'll get up to $1,500 worth of Vivint security cameras and equipment today at no charge. Seriously, $1,500. Just pay as little as $99 for activation. Call 877-776-3430. 877-776-3430. Restrictions apply. 48 or 60-month agreement and minimum $49.99 per month required. Not available in Louisiana. See Vivint.com for license numbers.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Reverend Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week with programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Soapbox Witch with Onyx. You had a choice and you chose to spend your time here. Thank you for joining me on this magical journey of thought seed farming and music. Hello everyone, this is the Soapbox Witch and I am Onyx, your host for the next little bit, hour or so, while we discuss things from allowing me to take a little bit of a soapbox. And I appreciate everyone that shows up, either live or in the archive. If you are listening in the archive, I will invite you to listen in every night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time live to our shows here on Spiritual Unity Radio Network. If you're going to be in here live and you're going to come straight to the Blog Talk channel, there's a chat room that runs concurrent with the show. In order to be able to fully participate in the chat room, you'll need to have a Blog Talk Radio account. You can get one for free at www.blogtalkradio.com. Sign up as a member. That way you can, too, show up in the chat room and chat with those others that are here. And I will tell you that if you're not in the chat room, you are missing a good portion of the show, because sometimes the chat follows the show and sometimes it does not. And of course, we can't record the chat room in the archives. But if you listen in the archives, you are just as appreciated as you are as if you were here live. So all the listeners out there you go, either live or in the archives, I certainly appreciate it that you have taken the time to listen to this episode. Now, tonight's episode is entitled Asa True from the Outside. I'm going to talk a little bit about Asa True, but I'm using that as a springboard for a little bit of a larger topic. So if you'll just bear with me, I think you'll see where I'm going with this. If anyone in the chat room has questions as we go along, go ahead and put them in there, and I will try to address them as best I can as we move through this. Now, before we really get into a lot of down and dirty, when it comes to Asa True, I want to define a few ground rules for this episode. First off, when I say something is polytheistic, I mean polytheistic. I am not talking about one of those one God with archetypes or faces type stuff. I mean polytheistic, hard polytheist. When I say the word religion, my definition is a relationship with the divine. When I say faith, I'm referring to a set of values or morals. And when I use the word pagan, I am defining it as such. Number one, a new, reconstructed, or resurrected religion that developed within the last 500 years, including ancient religions that were discontinuously practiced, reappearing within that time frame. Number two, based even tangentially on European indigenous beliefs. Number three, a proportion of the members of that faith self-describe as pagan or have historically self-described as pagan. And number four, faith developed in Europe or in a European community. Those four things are what I define pagan as in this discussion. Now, we can split hairs and talk about what pagan means all day long, and at this point for this discussion, I don't care. That's a discussion for another day. The term pagan is very difficult to pin down. We can talk about the etymology of the word, where it come from, all that. That's a topic for another discussion. So for tonight's discussion, that is what I mean by pagan. Now, I define Asatru as pagan according to these guidelines. I will use heathen and heathenry to refer collectively to Asatru and Asatruesque paganism. Furthermore, I am aware of the current trend to say one has spirituality, not a faith or religion. But until this trend can provide a definition of religion that distinguishes it from spirituality on a basis of more than one's relationship with one's former religion, I choose to use the word religion. So at that point, to give you a little bit to think about going into it, I'm going to launch into our first song. And as generally my my pattern is, I will start out with a song by Dard the Bard. And tonight I've chosen a song called Grimmstown. So ladies and gentlemen, Dard the Bard, Grimmstown. Grimmstown. The song was called Grim Sound. I want to thank you for joining me here on the Soapbox Witch. I am Onyx. You are listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Tonight we are talking about, or with, and on the topic of Ansa Truth from the outside. Now, after establishing those ground rules and how we will engage this topic, I'll go on. Now, Ansa Truth falls under the broad category of Reconstructionism, and I define that as a set of religions that attempt to reconstruct an actual religion of the past. Wicca is not a reconstruction of any culture, but it is based on beliefs regarding indigenous Europeans. So it's not uncommon for Wiccans and Reconstructionists to find themselves butting heads. Religions are those that are intrinsically linked with a specific culture. When we study non-transmitted religions, we must involve the study of it in that context. In the context, now, while we're exploring this, I'm going to be using some terms that are native to the cultures that Asacho evolves with. Some are not necessarily religious in their use. Most of these terms that I will bring out, I can define rather well. Others, I only have a vague understanding of them. I will apologize up front. I haven't studied the languages extensively, so this is just an overview, so please don't hold me to task on exact definitions. This is Ansa Truth from the outside. I am not Ansa Truth. Ansa Truth is a religion that exists, all of its cultural ties intact. Yes, it is a reconstructionist religion, but it's a reconstruction of a religion of a specific culture, and those cultural ties are intact. There's no clear distinction between one's identity as part of the culture and one's identity as part of the religion. It's very, very important to understand this when studying officer. As I hinted to you earlier, officer is profoundly and literally polytheistic. It's a religion that's invested in a specific set of cultures. It does not recognize gods outside of a Germanic or Norse pantheon. Now, this is not necessarily something called pantheonic polytheism. And pantheonic polytheism, for those of you who are not familiar with the term, is a belief that the whole of the gods that do exist, exists within the pantheon. In other words, they don't believe that the only gods that exist are within that pantheon. It's simply a lack of concern regarding the reality or the deeds of gods outside the pantheon. So that we can make that clear to an officer, the Aesir, which is the gods, are the gods. They have no concern with the Greek gods or the Roman gods or the Egyptian gods. They don't care if they exist or if they do not exist. That is not a part of the issue. They are only concerned with the belief in their gods. That is very separate from saying that their gods are the only gods. Very separate. Very big distinction between the two. So to say that their gods are the only gods would be pantheonic polytheism. Now the Germanic language group and related cultures were very widespread and very interrelated. So some of the terms that modern Ossetur use are somewhat of a polyglot. In other words, they're pulled from different languages. Ossetur itself is a Norse term meaning a faith or belief in gods. These gods, the Aesir, are the indigenous gods of the people who spoke the Germanic languages. There are four basic branches. There are four branches of the Ossetur. And I won't go into defining the differences between the four branches, but they are Scandic, Gothic, Anglo-Saxon, and Southern. The term Ossetur is a very loose term. Most Ossetur will agree on what they are not. This is a common problem among many different faiths. And we have something in theology, when we study theology, we find the whole describing ourselves in association with something called the stranger. In theology, some faiths will identify and say, we are this, not the stranger. They will emphasize not the stranger. Now, the stranger is not the term actually used in any of them, but unlike the stranger, we do this, or something to that effect. So, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to read to you a quote, a long quote, about the Ossetur. That was written by Dirk Molling, and it's called Four Bedposts of Ossetur. Now, if any of you are out there who are Ossetur, and I mess up the definition, or not the definition, if I mess up the pronunciation of some of these words, then I apologize in advance. Number one, Ossetur is a dedication to, and only to, the Aesir and the Vanir, Woden, Donar, Woldar, Froing, and Friends. These gods are not a jealous lot, but Ganesh is by no stretch of imagination an Aesir. The nature of these gods, entity, archetype, etc., is an ongoing discussion. Number two, Ossetur is a bloat and stumble on the greatest holy days. Yule, Osara, Midsummer, to honor the Aesir and the Vanir, heroes and ancestors. Other holidays exist Walpurgis, Lammas, Harvest, Einherjar. Number 3, Asatru is the daily life of courage based on the foods of our ancestors. For instance, to take responsibility for our own deeds, to act true and honest, to be self-reliant and step in for freedom. Such a life creates good Orlov. Asatru is doing, not thinking and talking. Asatru is a revitalized religion, a synthesis of literary, mythological sources of all Germanic folks and the mix-ins from their Germanicized neighbors. Contributions from scientific research, such as linguistics, history, anthropology, archaeology, etc., and deep personal insights. Asatru is a house with four rooms, Scandic, Gothic, Anglo-Saxon, and Southern. Regardless of our room, the street address must be right. In addition, we have quite a bit of gravy. Runes, Seir, Galder, Spey, Mythology, Holy Stead, Udiseka, Traditions, Family, Tools, Symbols, Music, Art, Education, etc. End quote. Now, to define a few of those words that came up in that, a bloat is a ritual, a Norse pagan ritual. A symbol is a formal drinking ritual. It includes things like reciting poetry, reciting legends, mythology, singing, things like that. Orlog is a person's direct destiny. It is spun by the Norns. They can watch it, but they can't interact with it. The Seder is a form of magic. Galdr is a type of singing incantation. Spey is a form of divination. So you can see that they have their own terms for many different things that could possibly be used in other religions as well. Now, moving right along, there are a number of reasons why it's important for Wiccans to be aware of Asatru. First of all, there's a belief of many of the Asatru, or Asatruar, that Wiccans think their gods, the Asatru or the Aether, are part of a great one god, or are mere archetypes. Remember, as I said earlier, the Asatru are hard polytheists. They don't buy into that. It's also important to be aware of the tensions within our community. We should know the borders, the limits, and the problems within the tensions of our community. Now, I will mention here that there is a minority in the Wiccan community that is very well known. They often claim to speak for all Wiccans, and sometimes for all pagans. And because they like to go to the papers and other media, they're often listened to outside the community and, unfortunately, even within the community as well. These people are, in general, spiritual privateers because they co-opt rituals, spaces, and places of other people without regard for the damage they leave. Now, for many years, the general reaction in the pagan community was just to live and let live. They're not hurting anybody. Well, actually, they are. They're hurting the people that they're taking the rituals from and co-opting them. So I'm going to let you chew on that for a few minutes. And like I said, thought seed farming and a little bit of music. So we're going to break for another song. And I think I'm going to turn on here some Emerald Rose and I like this song. Not sure if everybody is, I'm sure some people have heard it. It's called Take Me Down to Her Water by Emerald Rose. Sit back and enjoy. I thank you for listening either live or in the archives. Tonight we are discussing Alpha True from the Outside. And as you probably have figured out, if you've been listening so far, that Alpha True is not the main thrust of this conversation, although I am using this to make a point. This is the Soapbox Switch, and yes, I am on a soapbox. So I appreciate your listening. We move forward. Now, the pagan community defines itself in very subjective lines. We like to throw out the word pagan and see who rushes in to claim it. But then when we encounter those we don't like to see under our personal little umbrella of paganism, we refine our concept of pagan, trying to exclude these unwanted elements. But in doing so, we very often exclude people that we have no business excluding. One example of the way we do this is by using the Wiccan Rite, or a very poor interpretation of it. And if you don't understand why that little bit of cynicism is there, maybe I'll get back on that soapbox one day, or you can go back and listen to some of the old shows. Or just ask me personally, and I'll let you know. But I'm not going to go down that tangent right now. That's a rabbit to chase for another day. Pagan communities will often state that the pagan community is made up of those who follow the harm none or a similar belief. Now, what this does is it excludes all faith groups for whom a prohibition against harm is not a central tenet of their faith. There are prohibitions of harm in forms of paganism that have sprung up from Wicca. Asatru, and many other pagans and heathen religions evolved separately from Wicca. They may or may not have easily enumerated sets of beliefs that fit easily on a Wiccan framework. We need to stop trying to make them fit. We need to accept them for who they are. A lot of people will try to define paganism by their social or political view of choice, or maybe by the practice of a certain metaphysical rite or technique. But environmentalism, libertarianism, magic, astrology, or any of those other things that you want to use may be embraced by many pagans, but certainly not all. To associate membership in the pagan community with any of these, or even to use the words such as earth-based or green as absolute equivalent to the word pagan, systematically pushes many pagans who have used the words for years of your definition. So how do we define pagan? Ah, there's the rub. But we can't go around being exclusive. We can't go around picking and choosing who we decide what we want to be able to wear the label of pagan. But at the same time, the other side of the coin is, I believe that we can't just allow anybody to call themselves pagan. Now, we can't really stop them, obviously, but we can educate. The reason why we have such an issue is because we are a new religion, or group of religions, faith group. This echoes back to religious movements of every single religion that I have ever studied. Early in its infancy, it struggled with identity. Consider that it wasn't until about 300 years after Christianity began to be a moving force that a council was held to define what is Christian. Now, that council did not automatically make everybody fall under that single definition. It defined what was Orthodox Christianity, what is Christianity. And it helped to establish the universal or Catholic Church. And it alienated a lot of different factions from what was the orthodoxy, what was the prescribed central tenets. There were tons of different factions, tons of different groups that had different beliefs and all back then. And it did not go away. Some of them are even still around today. We will always have that. Do we want to have some kind of ecumenical council? I don't see that as necessary, and I see that as being outside of something that we would normally think of doing as pagan anyway. But we need to, within ourselves, within our own community, decide, at least of a general rule, or as a generality, what it means to be pagan. And that is something that I challenge the entire community to do. The leaders can talk, the ones that are standing out there in front can talk, those that are recognized as theologians within the pagan community can discuss this, and they can, you know, I don't see this happening, but if they decided to get together and have this huge ecumenical council like happened at the Council of Nicaea, it wouldn't mean a thing. It wouldn't matter a hill of beans unless the people on the ground, the practitioners, accepted it. So I feel like those definitions, or that definition, needs to come from the ground. It needs to be a grassroots thing. But we need to pay attention to what we're doing, and we need to pay attention to who we're excluding. Now I'm going to play one other song here, and then I'm going to come back with some wrap-up thoughts. And I hope that this song will kind of cement what I'm trying to get across. This song is by Murphy's Midnight Rounders. And if I can find it, I apologize. There we go. My studio is being a little bit of a turkey. This is called Circle Song. Please listen to the words of this song.
They will never see a need that can't be solved with a curse. The point of view they take is that their tradition should come first. The dividing line they draw between the good guys and the worst is the circle that divides community. They go round and round in circle, but the logic's still the same. If you don't believe what I do, your tradition's pretty lame. The circle that you cast upon division is to blame. It's the circle that erodes community. For the circles, they're expanding, and it changes with the times. The circle has no corners, and there are no straight lines. One hand leads to another with no one left behind. It's the circle that defines community. We go round and round in circle. We reach out for younger hands. We include all who desire it, be they foe or be they friend. For our strength is in inclusion, not the side on which we stand. It's the circle that involves community. We go round and round in circle, and the circle ever grows. And the strength we bring together is the strength that each one shows. And ye harm none is our battle cry. May the circle never close. It's the circle that reflects community.
Herbie's Midnight Founders, that was called Circle Song. And even though in these lyrics we talk about something that we spoke about on the air just a few minutes ago as being a subjective yardstick, the thought behind that song absolutely resonates with me. We need to be inclusive. This is Spiritual Unity Radio Network, and this is the Soapbox Witch. I am Onyx, and my closing thoughts here are very simple. Now, let's come back to full circle. Let's talk about what the Ancestry have against most of the pagan community, or the pagan community in general. This is what I see. One of the main problems some Ancestry have with the pagan community is not being excluded from it, but rather being included without consultation. Let that sink in for a moment. They don't care if they're excluded, but they do care if you call them pagan without asking them first. It's not that they have anything against the pagan community, but they see the pagan community as different than what they are. We go back and talk about some of the differences. They are hard polytheists, much like Reconstructionists of other cultures. The Hellenic Reconstructionists are generally hard polytheists. The Kemetic Reconstructionists, generally hard polytheists. Now, we may, in our belief structure, think that we may think that each of those faces, each of those individual gods and goddesses are an archetype or a manifestation or a facet on the big diamond. That's my personal belief. But I do not have the right to tell a hard polytheist that they're wrong. I do not have that right, and neither does anyone else. Each of us have our own unverified personal gnosis. And by that I mean something we know to be true down deep in our heart, but we can't prove it. And until you can prove it, you don't have the right to tell someone that they've got their personal gnosis wrong. There is a comment in the chat room. We do, however, have the right to respectfully disagree. Well, it depends on how you're saying that. You can disagree without making a point of it. You don't go to a bloke and say, hey, I disagree with you guys. Just like you don't go to a Christian church and say, hey, I don't agree with you guys. That would be disrespectful. Absolutely disrespectful. But if you're in a conversation with someone of a difference of opinion, certainly, you don't have to agree with them. But I would hope that your discussion would be within the realms of civil discourse. I would hope, I would pray, that if you're in a conversation with someone who you disagree with on some point of unverified personal gnosis, that you can have that discussion well within the bounds of civil discourse, understanding that you have, or that person has, just as much right to believe that their gnosis is fact, as you have the right to believe that your gnosis is fact, when all actuality, neither of them are fact. Because fact would mean that it could be empirically proven. And when it comes to this little contest here about whether the gods are individual or whether they're archetypes or facets or whatever, there is no empirical proof. Remember that we have the feeling that when those of another religion come to us and start trying to tell us that we're wrong and they're right, we say, hey, you know, don't shove your religion down my throat. Let's not do the same thing. Yes, Wicca is the largest of the umbrellas, sub-umbrellas, under the major umbrella of paganism. And I understand that under Wicca there are tiny little umbrellas all over the place, but as Wiccan, being the largest representation under the modern umbrella of paganism, I feel that we have the responsibility to not become the Wiccan Borg, okay? There are who disagree with us. We should not go out and try to manipulate their gnosis, their personal gnosis, to make it fit into our little hole, our little box. If they are different, so be it. If they want to talk about it, so be it. As long as it's well within the guidelines of civil discourse. There are just as many different personal gnosis about the divine as there are people. None of us are the same, and none of us know for sure. We have our thoughts, we have our feelings, we have our gnosis, I'll go back to that word, but none of it is verified. None of it is verified. So we do not have the right to tell another person they are wrong when we can't prove, empirically prove, what we're stating as fact. Because it is not fact. If you disagree with me, that's beautiful. Send me a letter. You can write me at revonixhp@ladyofthecircle.org. If I've made you think, beautiful. So remember, I don't care if you think like me. I just want you to think. You can disagree with me to the cows come home. That's wonderful. Always remember civil discourse. I thank you for tuning in. This has been the Soapbox Witch. I am Onyx, and I am the chief priest here at Lady of the Circle in the Oaks at Thomasville, North Carolina. If you would like to learn more about our organization, please click over to our website, www.ladyofthecircle.org. From there, you can find ways to get in touch with me so that you can vent your moans, groans, gripes, bitches, or complaints, or compliments, if you have them, to me. There's links to send me email. There's even a telephone number there. There are links there to all my other projects. You can see what I'm up to in YouTube. You can see what I'm up to on WordPress. You can see what I'm up to on CNN iReport. You can see what I'm up to on Facebook. You can cyberstalk the heck out of me. I don't care. Please do. Because if I got you upset, if I've got you upset, then I've got you thinking. And that's exactly what we mean by thought seed farming. This is the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. If you would like to hear more or find out more about the network, You can go to www.spiritualunityradionetwork.org and you can check out that page. There are archives there. There are some bios from some of the hosts. If you'd like to send an email to the network itself, you can address that email to cern.org@gmail.com. That's cern.org@gmail.com. I would ask if you do that to please put in the subject line something to let us know where to send that traffic. You can use that email address to send mail to me, to any of our hosts. You can give topic suggestions, whatever you would like, to that email address. Coming up this week, tomorrow night, you've got Under a Shady Tree, Terry and I, just two Southern Pagans getting together, Under a Shady Tree, sipping sweet tea and talking. We always have a wonderful time. Most of the time, Terry and I bounce off of each other, and we agree on a lot of things, but every once in a while, you'll catch us in disagreement, and that's beautiful, because it takes all kinds. And even though Terry and I are both from the same tradition, we do have differences of opinion sometimes, and that's a good thing. So tune in and listen. On Friday night, we're rebroadcasting last night's Illumisol ritual that Terry led. So if you did not get a chance to hear it last night, then certainly come in tomorrow at 10 p.m. and you can hear it again. Or if you'd like to hear it again, absolutely. I'm going to be here listening to it again because I participated in it. So this time I'd like to listen to it. So, that's pretty much it for tonight. I want to wish you all a very good night. And until next time, blessed be. In a while, you'll catch us in disagreement. And that's beautiful. Because it takes all kinds. And even though Terry and I are both from the same tradition, we do have differences of opinion sometimes. And that's a good thing. So tune in and listen. On Friday night, we're rebroadcasting last night's Illumisol ritual that Terry led. So if you did not get a chance to hear it last night, then certainly come in tomorrow at 10 p.m. and you can hear it again. Or if you'd like to hear it again, absolutely. I'm going to be here listening to it again because I participated in it. So this time I'd like to listen to it. So, that's pretty much it for tonight. I want to wish you all a very good night. And until next time, blessed be.